trust you, God, in every season of our lives. Lord, I thank you for this time of worship, that we've come to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. We lift up your name because you are high and lifted up. We love you and we thank you for this time. Amen. If you could direct your attention to the screens.
Hey everybody, Pastor Ronnie again, and I wanted to take a minute here to introduce our speaker for the morning. His name is David Deary. David and Laurel are missionaries that we support here through Springfield Baptist Church. They've been doing a lot of really good work for a very long time. Dave was actually a pastor for 17 years. He's been serving in the church for a very long time, from church camps to different things that the Lord has called him to after being a pastor. Laurel, his wife, was a registered nurse for about 12 years. They've got two amazing kids, and we're so grateful for the work that they do. So after pastoring, Dave and Laurel were actually called into prison ministry, where they go into the prisons and they actually do marriage counseling with the incarcerated people and their spouses. I've heard a lot about this. They actually get to bring their spouses in and go through. And it's a really, really amazing thing that I know personally, many of you know my story, that this is a great, great mission and a great thing that they do. So if you could just join me in giving a huge Springfield Baptist welcome to David Deary, and thank you so much for being here this morning.
Well, good morning. It is great to be back with you again at Springfield Baptist Church. We've been here several times, and the church has actually supported us for quite some time. So we go back like three pastors, and it's always great when leadership changes happen. Like sometimes churches will drop you when somebody new comes, but you guys have supported us for a long time through different changes and different seasons and different pastors, and we really appreciate that. I'm not going to share really anything too much about our actual ministry and what we do. Pastor just gave you a little bit of an idea about that, and we were just here in June, so those of you who were here when we shared in June, we did share a more extended update about the ministry and things that are happening. So we do marriage events in prisons, like he said. We also do a number of marriage events on the outside. We just led an event on Friday evening. There's a Christian-based company down in Holmes County that couple different times now they've organized an event, brought all their employees and spouses together that wanted to come. The company covers everything. It's free for their employees and spouses, and it's an amazing time. And we had a great time on Friday evening just doing the teaching portion of the event. So we do a lot of different things inside and outside, but we are certainly excited about all the doors that God has opened up in prison, and even more doors that he is opening. I don't know, is Jane here this morning? Jane. Dalian, I think it is, and my wife Laurel and a couple of other ladies are going to be going in February 27th, right, is the first date. They'll be going into the Summit County Jail to begin working with women there, and I know Jane just had surgery, so, but anyway, we're excited about that. That's a new door that opened, and that wasn't our idea. Jane got a hold of us through Rick and Carol Reynolds and said, you know, she was asking, do you know anybody who does anything with incarcerated, and she said, yeah, we have a couple we support, and so the conversations have happened, and so that's a new opportunity that's opening that we're very, very excited about. So ever since Ronnie reached out a couple months ago and just said, hey, I could really use a Sunday off if you could come and speak to our church, and having pastored 17 years, I remember those times when I was like, man, if I could just have just one Sunday off to have a break, you know, it would be really nice if I had somebody to preach for me. And the running joke is pastors know how bad of a speaker I am. It's why they always have me come when they're not here. They don't have to listen. Ronnie's probably out there listening somewhere, but that's a running joke. I very rarely ever preach at a church when the pastor is there because I'm filling in so they can have a Sunday off. But ever since he had asked me to preach, I began really praying and thinking about what is it that God would have me to share. And The idea that came to me was the idea of talking about second chances and how God gives us second chances, and how the Bible is just, it really is a book about second chances when you really begin to think about it. Ironically, I have a lot of chronic neck pain, and so for me to sit down at a computer and work on doing the research and all the things for a sermon these days is pretty difficult. And so I was talking to one of my very good friends who incidentally spent time in prison. He's out, he's on parole, and we get together quite often and we talk quite a lot. And I told him, I said, you know, do you know, because he does some different things with prison ministry as well now that he's out. I said, do you know if there are any sermon outlines out there that Prison Fellowship or anybody does about second chances? And so he kind of went out and looked a little bit. He said, no, I can't find anything great as far as an outline. He said, but I could put one together for you if you want. I said, that'd be great. So a lot of what I'm sharing and some of the research that was done to put this all together this morning, my friend Philip sat down and took days to pray through and compile some stuff and gave it to me. And I was like, these are some great ideas. And then I took them and kind of formed them a little bit further into a sermon that I wanted to give today. My friend Philip, incidentally, also gave me this shirt last year, Unlock Second Chances, which is a shirt from Prison Fellowship, unlockSecondChances.org, I think it is. It's on the back. .com will take you to Prison Fellowship's website. And so as I was also getting ready, I thought I'll wear my t-shirt today that talks about second chances. So first of all, a couple of things when I think about second chances. The first thing that kind of came to mind is I know that we're in a new year, and if you're like a lot of folks, including us, we sit down kind of at the end of every year as a family. We've done it for, I think, 12 or 13 years now. And we kind of make and evaluate some goals. So they're not necessarily like New Year's resolutions in general, but they're a little bit more specific for goals. And a lot of times when we set goals, we say things like, I want to lose weight, or I want to exercise more, or things like that. And they're not really very measurable, and you don't really know, like, am I doing more or not, you know? So we set specific goals that are kind of measurable of specific things we want to attain that kind of have action steps attached to them. They have dates, you know, that we want to try to get this done by this point and things like that. So if you're like us, maybe you set some goals, maybe you have some resolutions, maybe as you turn the page to a new year, you kind of promised yourself some things that you were going to do differently or better, or you promised yourself there's some things you weren't going to do this year that you used to do that you're giving up, whatever it might be. So today is the 26th, I think, of January, and so if you did those things, my guess is that you probably have already messed up, you know, forgotten to do it, fallen short of what you promised yourself, you've forgotten to do things you said you were going to do, you have done things you promised yourself you weren't going to do. So most of you, that's probably where you're at. And when that happens, a lot of times our human nature, we're pretty hard on ourselves. So we say, oh, I might as well just forget it, right? I've already messed it up. I might as well just forget it. Now I got to wait till next year. But the truth is, no, you don't have to. You get a second chance. It's only January 26th. You've got, I don't know, 330-some days, you know, left in this year. So why give up? Why just let the whole thing be a wash? Why not say, I'm going to start over again today, and I'm still going to try to do this thing that I said I was going to do, or I'm still going to try to not do that thing that I said I wasn't going to do. So that's one thing that I thought of when I thought of second chances. There's nothing that the enemy, Satan, would like more than to whisper in your ear, you might as well just give up now. You're never going to get this right. But to get up and to, by God's grace, to have a second chance. Now, on the first Sunday of this year, our pastor shared a sermon at our church that really, I don't know if you have these now and then, where something just kind of really messes with you, and it doesn't go away. It just kind of keeps coming back. Our pastor asked us a question in the sermon 3 weeks ago. He said, in 2025, is it going to be a year where you're going to try real hard, or is it going to be a year where you're going to trust real big? And I thought, oh yeah, because the reality is, like, it's not bad to try hard. I mean, putting in effort and things are good, but trying in and of ourselves to do something, like, we're not going to get it right all the time. We aren't enough on our own. So we need Christ, and we need to trust in Him. I sat there and smiled as we were doing worship this morning, because every single one of the songs, and they, like, we hadn't talked about it, didn't know what they were singing, they had no idea what the sermon was going to be, but, you know, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, you know. All the songs we sang kind of, I wish we could sing them again, because, like, once we're done, you'd be like, wow, those really do tie in well. I love when God does that. But that's a question that I want to ask you this morning is, is this going to be a year where you're just going to try real hard on your own to do this and get back up every time you fall down and try real hard? And there's something to be said for that, but it also needs to be a year where you're trusting real big and you're realizing that only through Christ and in Christ Can you do that? And you can do greater things as you trust in Christ. Like, you're not limited to just the small things that we think of that we want to do. Everything is possible through Christ. Obviously, another reason I thought of second chances is because of the ministry that we do with people impacted by incarceration. And I absolutely love stories of lives that have been transformed, and as we've gone in and worked with couples, to see the amazing difference that Christ makes and what's able to take place in their lives and marriage as they have a second chance. Not to totally do it over. Like, you can't undo what there is. There are consequences for choices that we make. So we have literally met people who have been in prison now for decades and decades after they've come to know Christ. So they don't just magically get out because they came to know Christ. I mean, sometimes there are stories of early release and things. We'll hear one a little bit later in a video that I'll share. But some people are in there for life, and they're still in there for the rest of their life. But they're serving the Lord. They have a ministry. God is using them in some amazing ways, and they get second chances to be redeemed and to be useful for the kingdom despite the checkered past that they might have. It could obviously be said, as you think through the Bible, as you think through the gospel message of Christ, that Jesus came and lived a sinless life and died for us and was buried and rose again and was resurrected. When you think about the gospel message, really the core theme of that is forgiveness. And forgiveness is simply an opportunity to be able to try again, to start over. It gives us another chance. And it does that over and over. So when I say second chances, I'm not just referring to you get one chance to do it again. I mean third, fourth, 100,000 chances, you know. So there's always second chances. And what I know is that for some of you sitting here this morning, there probably are some things that you have done that you're living with and that you have guilt for that you need to forgive yourself for something. Maybe even many things that you've done, that the truth is, like, you're your own worst enemy because you keep beating yourself up, you keep pushing yourself down. I'm not good enough. I could never do that because of this thing in my past. Others of you are sitting here this morning, and as we're bringing this up, you know that you need to forgive someone else, or maybe several someone else's, right? I mean, the world is hard. There's some mean people out there, and bad things happen to us every day, so it's human nature is, you know, hold that against them, build a wall, keep them out, but we need to forgive people. We need to give them second chances. Now, I do want to say there are certain situations that aren't the run-of-the-mill everyday things, but like if you've been abused or things like that, I mean, you do need to forgive. You don't necessarily need to have a relationship with somebody who's been abusive. So I want to, rather than somebody come up later and say, well, you know, it's like, okay, I do understand there are some exceptions. Now, forgiveness is still required because that's more for us than it is the other person. If we don't forgive somebody, whether it's an abuser or whether it's whoever it is, that will continue to eat away at us. So it's a hard process. It's difficult, but it's necessary. But in many cases, people who have done something to us, it's petty things, it's smaller things, it's things that we can forgive and move on and still have a relationship through. Now, someday, those of us who know Christ, which I'm assuming a lot of us have committed our lives to Christ, someday we will get to go and spend eternity with Christ in a perfect place where we won't have these issues anymore. But until then, all we have is this imperfect life on this imperfect planet full of all imperfect people. And so we deal with these things, and forgiveness and second chances are a thing. There are approximately 100 different verses in Scripture that talk about forgiveness directly. And it can be proven if you go and look through the Bible that the Bible is largely a collection of real-life stories of actual people who had second chances, beginning in Genesis with Adam and Eve and ending with all of the people that Christ referred to and prayed for in John 17:20. That would come to know him, all of these people get second chances. And God makes it very clear in Scripture that forgiveness is available to all and everyone, and that second chances are his pleasure to give. He loves to give his people second chances. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's full of examples of people who were given second chances, and there are many, many characters in the Bible that it records who receive second chances. Some of which are very, very well-known people, some of which are listed in Hebrews when it talks about people of faith and gives great examples. Some of those people even made it kind of to that Christian Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 of people who were faith. So I want to give you some people this morning out of Scripture. Many of them you'll know. others of you, you may not be quite as familiar with. So the first one is Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith who lied about his wife twice. He committed adultery in order to fulfill God's promise, but was still given additional chances to believe and to become the father of promise. Balaam. Balaam was a greedy man whom God spared by a talking donkey. God has a sense of humor too, doesn't he? Cain. Cain was warned by God himself to make the right decision next time. David committed adultery and was a murderer, but was still given the chance to reign as king and to become what was known as a man after God's own heart. Elijah. Elijah was a prophet who was allowed to who allowed fear to reign, but was protected and provided for supernaturally and given another chance to speak for God to the very one he had formerly ran from. Felix was the Roman governor who heard the gospel and was offered hope in Christ. Gomer was a prostitute who was purchased back countless times by Hosea for the very purpose of teaching us just how far God will go to bring us back to himself and offer us countless chances to be faithful to him. Hagar became arrogant when she got pregnant, but when Sarah took out her anger on her, she ran away. God saw her and encouraged her that he had a plan for Ishmael and that she should go back to Sarah and apologize and trust God with the future. Isaac. Isaac lied about Rebekah being his wife when they were living among the Philistines, just like Abraham had lied about Sarah. He didn't trust God to protect him and Rebekah. He also favored Esau, despite Esau's rebellion towards God and the clear prophecy that it would be Jacob that God would bless. Yet God allowed Isaac to be among the fathers of the Hebrew people in spite of his lies and his favoritism. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish, spit out on the shore, and given another chance to preach to Nineveh, who in turn, the people of Nineveh were given another chance. Kadmiel, after the captivity of his family in Babylon, he had the second chance to praise God and help his family and Israel reestablish worship of the Lord and the Lord's house. What about Lazarus? Though he may not have appreciated it, he was given another chance at life. I thought about that. I'm like, you know, if you were in paradise, would you really be like, oh, cool, I get to go back? It's like, well, probably not. But anyway, he was given another chance and more opportunities to impact people. Moses, in addition to being a murderer, he failed at his first attempt to set his people free. He was trained up by God in a time of hiding and then brought back for another chance to lead his people to freedom. Noah was spared on the ark and given a second chance to start things over for all of mankind. Onesimus was a slave who ran away from his maker, Philemon, and God brought him to Rome where he met Paul. He got saved and became so beloved by Paul that Paul wrote to ask Philemon to forgive him and take him back as a brother of Christ, giving him another chance. Paul was given the opportunity to be transformed from a killer of Christians to the most well-known evangelist and author of the New Testament. Quartus, while a Corinthian brother in Christ to Paul, as a Gentile, he was given the gospel and repented. Rahab went from harlot to an honored one as one of the few women being listed in the lineage of Jesus. Samson, after falling for a trap, was given another chance to smite the enemies of God. Thomas, who we know as a doubter, was given a personal invitation by Christ himself to believe and follow him. Yule, after the return from Babylon, listened to the prophet Ezra and led the way in repenting and helping the community turn to faithfully following God. What about the Valley of Dry Bones? Probably one of the most picturesque accounts of God offering a second chance to his people. Even after death and decay, he prevailed the first time. The woman caught in the very act of adultery was forgiven by Christ instead of condemned, and was given a second chance to go and sin no more. Xerxes, while the king of Persia, when Esther's mission to save the Hebrews was accomplished, not only was he given a second chance at life because Mordecai overheard the plot and reported it, but in addition, Xerxes gave Esther the gift of up to half the kingdom, and God used him to overturn the evil he had already agreed to in regards to killing all the Jews. How about you? There is no way to even recount the millions of times that God has forgiven you and forgiven me and given us second chances for various things. His patience with us is never ending. And Zacchaeus, after an encounter with Christ, he was given another chance to live for him, and he repaid up to four times what he had stolen from the people. So clearly, from A to Z, and you can be glad, I guess, that the alphabet only goes to Z, because we could be here all day with people that God has given second chances to. But he is a good God. He does give us second chances. He loves giving us opportunities to do things again and to trust in him for his help to do what he's asking us to do. Two people I want to talk about. One we mentioned, but two people I want to just look briefly at Scripture and talk about who are some of the most radical examples of people who did pretty horrible things, and then that God used in such incredible ways in his kingdom. The first one who was in our list there from A to Z was Paul. Paul is someone that we know that killed many, many Christians and became one of the greatest church planters and authors of the New Testament and disciple makers in all of Scripture. One of the greatest examples. I mean, all the time we're turning and saying, This verse in Ephesians, this verse in Philippians, like all these great things that we look to for encouragement were written by Paul, who wasn't always this great Bible teacher and discipler and pastor and church planter. In fact, we read in Acts 22, verses 6 through 21, we're not going to take the time to read those this morning, but in Acts chapter 22 there, we read about the conversion of Paul, quite the extraordinary event to be sure. And while it's not true across the board, often we do see dramatic conversion experiences where God takes some of the very worst people and turns them into some of the greatest people with potential in the kingdom to do some amazing things. A buzzword over the last number of years is misinformation, right? False news, misinformation. I think that's what Paul was caught up in, he was convinced prior, when he's killing all these Christians, like he's doing the right thing, like he's doing a favor by doing what he's doing. He had the wrong information, and he, in doing so, he was worshiping the faith and religion so much that he had completely missed the Father and his Son, the Messiah, who came to die for us. And Paul needed a bright light to illuminate his errors. He actually needed to become blind so that he could see. That's a little ironic, isn't it, how God does these things? But Christ himself gave Paul a new opportunity to go from being killers of his followers to having a second chance to be one of the great people in the Hall of Fame of faith. Another one I think about is Peter. When we say the word Peter, like what's the first thing that comes to your mind with Peter? What is it? Paul? He denied Christ, right? I mean, that's the first thing we think of. It's like Peter did other things too. I mean, some of those weren't so great. Like he cut off the guy's ear. He was always like, he was a little, ADD or something, I think. Like he was always jumping out to like do stuff and then be like, oh, why did I do that? You know, but yeah, we think of him as the guy who denied Christ three times. But Peter's story didn't end there, did it? When Jesus came back and was resurrected, he specifically appeared to a lot of different people, but he came and appeared to Peter. And he asked Peter to feed his sheep, and he gave him a very specific opportunity to follow him again. What's more is that the New Testament also contains two books, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, that he wrote. He wrote those books some 35 years after the denial of Christ, when he denied him three times. That's recorded in all four gospel accounts. But some 35 years later, he wrote two books of the New Testament. Listen to these words that he wrote in 1 Peter, his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading." Peter had really grasped who God was and the opportunity that he had given to him. He didn't have to give him a second chance, right? He denied him three times. Peter could have just shrunk off in the distance and tried to be forgotten forever, but Jesus specifically came to him and called him out to be a follower and used him in great ways after the mistakes that he had made. Add to that Christ's answer to Peter. Remember, Peter is the one who asked him, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" right? And he thought he'd be generous. He's like, maybe seven times? And Jesus said to him, what? No, seven times 70. That's a lot of second chances that Jesus, and I don't even think he was saying to literally stop there, like keep track. You're like, okay, I got seven times, I'm done. No, there's still second chances even after that, right? So often we hear a message that unravels our errant beliefs of the Bible, and we hear something like, you know, whether it's ourselves that we need to forgive or somebody else that we need to forgive and give a second chance to, we're kind of left with a question sometimes, I think, walking out like, well, now what? What do I do with that? And it kind of sinks in, and we kind of stay there, and if we don't make some changes, if we don't apply this and kind of drive a stake in the ground, we're unfortunately destined to return to our former beliefs and practices and continue to make the same mistakes and so forth. So a primary point that I really want you to remember this morning is that identity is key. Our identity in Christ is key. So let me ask you the question, you know, who are we? In and of ourselves, who are we? We're sinners, right? Are we ever going to get it right on our own? Like, are we ever going to be, like, people look at you like, you're never going to be good enough. It's like, well, in and of ourselves, that is true, I guess, that we're always going to be sinners. We're always going to make mistakes. But the point is, our identity in Christ, when Christ looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees us through the lens of Christ, through the cross. And Christ is the only Messiah. We will never be good enough, but he will always be good enough. He is always able to do everything, always and forever. Always was, always will be enough and able. So the reality is that no one's first chance hit the mark, ever. That's what Romans 3 verse 10 is. It says that no one is righteous, not even one. So the truth this morning is, if it weren't for second chances, none of us would even be here or even have a chance to live for Christ, because we all messed it up the first time by default, from Adam all the way down the line. So it's only because of his grace and the gospel, which is a second chance, that we have any chance at all. Add to that Romans 5:8, where the Bible tells us that God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A lot of people seem to think like, well, I'll try to get my act together and clean things up a bit, and then I'll come to the Lord. And that's not how it works. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, when we were still messing up, God came to specifically give us second chances. Christ used lots and lots of stories in Scripture. Many true stories. Other ones were kind of parables of like riddles that he made up. But he had lots and lots of stories that he used to get points across. And I think he did it because it's powerful, and we can relate to them, and we can see and hear a real person and their story. So this morning, I have a video that I want you to watch. It's about 4 minutes long, but I want you to watch this story, and in light of some of the things that we've talked about and what he's going to share, just really hear the heart of this story and the second chances through forgiveness that are given.
Now, I really believe that college graduate. I am about to receive my master's. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a mentor. And I'm an advocate for second chances.
So I love that testimony. I love to hear stories like that when God takes people and says, okay, you've messed up, you've fallen short, so have all of us, that's what Scripture says, but you get a second chance. God's grace is extended, you're forgiven, you're able to go on and to be used. So as we're kind of wrapping up this morning here and concluding, in the book of James, James makes it very, very clear that to be a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word, or to have faith that doesn't have works attached to it is a dead faith. So God wants us to respond and take action when we look at his word and when we realize different things. So I want to challenge you with a few questions this morning and give you an opportunity to just kind of pause and think and pray a little bit there as the music is playing in the background here. I want you to think about a few questions this morning. One question, it just depends where you're at this morning and what the issues are that you're struggling with, but the first question is, what will you do the next time that you're wronged or sinned against, the next time that somebody does something to you? You know, how will you respond to that? What will you do the next time that you mess up on something, maybe really big, and that voice whispers in your ear, you're just worthless. You're never going to get it right. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to be good enough. It might be later today. It could be next week. It could be months from now. But when that happens next, what is it that you're going to do based on what we've talked about this morning? What will you say the next time that the Spirit of the Lord leads you to engage with someone that you're not really comfortable being around? In the video, he talked about he went to the family of the young man he had killed and talked to them. I mean, they could have said, like, we don't want to talk to you. We don't want anything to do. We don't want to see you. But instead, they extended grace and gave him second chances. That's amazing. And what's also amazing, like, I didn't catch it the first couple times. I caught it when I was just watching it here, is he says in the beginning, a prison guard came to me my first week and gave me a Bible. And I'm thinking, wow, because maybe if you haven't been in prison, like, you don't understand how this works, but like, guards are usually not friendly people trying to help people. Guards have seen it all. Guards have been abused by inmates. Like, guards are pretty hardened people, and you almost kind of have to be in there for years and years doing that kind of stuff. But for a guard to be the one who came and gave this guy a Bible, I'm like, wow. Like, they don't give a lot of second chances many times. It's a volunteer, it's a chaplain, it's somebody else coming in, you know, but a guard did that for him. So I'm thinking his whole story of second chances started in a very unlikely way with somebody who could have looked at him and just said, you're another piece of worthless trash, and just, you know, get in your cell and do your time. But instead, this guard reached out to him and was gracious and gave him a second chance. So based on all the accounts in Scripture, all the people that we've talked about from A to Z this morning who had second chances, I'm hoping that as you think through the things that you need to forgive yourself for, or the things that you need to extend grace and forgiveness to somebody else for, I'm hoping that that'll be your answer, is not by working real hard, right, but by trusting real big in God. I'm going to try to give second chances. I'm going to try to live a life that's filled with grace and love and understanding, because that's the way that Christ loved us. And as he loved us, he wants us to love our brothers and sisters and the people around us so that they can know him. So again, the question this morning, as you just take a minute to think, take a minute to pray there in your seat, is this going to be a year that you're just going to try real hard, or is it going to be a year that you're going to trust real big, and in those hard times, give the second chances that God is asking you to give? Take a moment now to pray, and then I'll close this in prayer here in a moment. Father, thank you so much for your love, for your grace that you extend to us. None of us would be here, none of us would be able to be a follower of Christ if you hadn't given us a second chance, if you hadn't come to die on a cross to be the sacrifice for us that we needed because we were imperfect. We were messed up, we weren't enough, we weren't going to get it right. We can try and try and try, and the truth is our report card still comes back with F's on it because we're never going to be perfect. And yet you came and you gave your son for us that died in our place, who was perfect, who was sinless, so that instead we can trade that report card for one that has all A's on it. Because we're seen now through Christ, we're viewed through the cross, we're viewed through the sacrifice of his perfectness, and that's why we're able to be seen as righteous, not because of us, but because of him and because of what he did for us. Paul himself wrote the words that what I want to do, I don't seem to do, and the things that I most despise and don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. And the truth is this morning that that's us, we're Paul. But you give us second chances, you continue to pick us back up and dust us off and say, try again, make progress, do better next time. You give us grace, you give us love, you treat us with understanding and dignity. We're grateful for that. We may have never denied you in the way that Peter did, but we certainly have at times thought that a problem was too big for you to handle, or that you weren't able to do certain things. And in doing that, we have really denied who you are. We've failed to realize your power and your grace and to see you for who you really are. And so in those ways, we really are Peter. We could go through person after person and see ourselves in their examples where we've doubted like Thomas, where we've failed and lied and done different things against you, and yet you look at us with grace and with love and you extend second chances. So we pray this morning for those who are here who may not know you personally, who maybe have just, they've been trying on their own and they're tired and they're at the end of themselves, but they've never surrendered their lives to you. May today be the day that they realize the second chance that you're giving them to literally be born again and have an opportunity to do life again in a different way and have a relationship with you. We pray for those who are here who just need to forgive themselves. They've been walking around feeling defeated and feeling less than because of things that they've done in their past that maybe people know about, maybe nobody knows about it, and they don't even want to tell anybody about it, but they're living defeated and living without forgiving themselves. We pray that today that they would forgive themselves, set themselves free, give themselves a second chance, and allow God to give them a second chance to do great things for him as a victor, not as somebody who's defeated. We know also that we're sitting in a room where people are filled with pain to different levels against people of things that have been done to them, hurts that have been done, maybe crimes that have been committed against them. And it's hard, and they try not to be bitter, but they just can't forget, they can't seem to get past some of that pain. We pray this morning that you would set them free of that, help them to forgive, help them to find it in their hearts to give those people a second chance despite what they have done. So whatever it is this morning, whatever it is that it'll be next week or next month or next year or 10 years from now, help us to live lives full of grace and love where we would extend second chances to ourselves, to those around us, so that we can be a living example of who you are, a God who gives second chances, who loves us so much that you gave your very life for us. Even though we weren't worthy, you were willing and you love us. We're in honor and in awe of you this morning, and we just give you the praise, and we're grateful that we have these opportunities to live out our faith for you in our world. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Have a great week. Ronnie will be here next Sunday, I think.